Blog Talk Radio.
For Saturday, March 31st, 2018, you are listening to Pro Wrestling Torch, Saturday edition of the livecast, a.k.a. the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. This week, we had originally scheduled Mr. Kylan Furlow to talk with you all about the best announcers. Forces outside of Kylan's control conspired against him, so instead, I decided to do a deep dive into WrestleMania week, the non-WWE edition. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the events, the happenings, the sounds, the things you may want to know if you're heading to New Orleans and don't necessarily want to go down the beaten path of just the WWE's side of the house. And tune in, because throughout the entire WrestleMania week, the PW Torch staff, we're really excited about the stuff we're going to bring you. Obviously, you're going to have the regular commentary and content, hashtag content from Wade, Bruce, and the rest of the gang. But myself, Cam, Zach, Travis, and some of you as listeners are going to be on site, and I'm going to try to get some interviews, some sights and sounds from Access, some interviews with fans on the street, and just kind of embark on a journey of recording the entire experience. And if you're interested in talking about that while I talk to you, tune in. Give us a call. Air code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Now, my goal today is to kind of give you the nitty-gritty of what I'll be doing and tag that up with the stuff that we're looking to have covered. So if you are going to an event that we're not, I'd love to get firsthand commentary. And, of course, our pièce de résistance is we're going to have a little bit of a torch meetup at Lucy's in New Orleans. It's a nice bar and grill. Thanks to Cody in Baton Rouge for kind of helping me the last few months do research on places we can hang out at. And so I look forward to any of you, if you get a chance, go on down to Lucy's. As we get closer, I know for sure it's going to be on Friday, but I'm not necessarily sure what we're going to be doing as far as a specific time, because a few members of the staff are going to be going to the Hall of Fame and covering that. So I want to give them enough time to do that. And I also want to have enough time to go to one of the first things I'm going to talk about, which is Joey Janela's spring break. Now, Joey Janela's spring break is going to be Friday at midnight. It's going to feature some pretty nuts matches. Last year, when I went to Joey's spring break, I definitely had the time of my life. It's interesting because it's going to be at the same spot that most of the WWN-affiliated shows are going to be. It's the Pawn Shark Center in Kenner, Louisiana, which is the outskirts. It's going to start at 11:55. And all of these times when I mention them are going to be, I want to say central. Might be Mountain, but no, it's Central. I think it's Central. And if any of you guys know, you know, shoot me an email, pwtdive@gmail.com, to make sure I'm on the right track. But anywho, so if you're on the East Coast, it's going to be an hour behind. The matches announced so far for Joey Janela's Spring Break 2, the Cluster F Battle Royal. Last year's Cluster F was pretty good, mainly because of the fact you could win by pinfall, submission, or death. It had had the Invisible Man, so that alone was enough to get me excited about it, because anytime you have someone wrestling the Invisible Man, that's gonna be fun. It also featured random dudes like Glacier. Gosh, who else was in the match? Glacier. Bear with me. I'm going to look it up real quick. Allie, Eric Cannon. You had Penelope, Jervis Cottonbelly, Crazy Boy, Dink, Ethan Page, Flip Gordon, the man who doesn't believe in around Earth, and Veda Scott, who, God bless her, Veda Scott, within 5 minutes of the match, had her face busted open and spent the majority of the time bleeding all over the place as everybody else kind of worked around her, and she just kept going. It was awesome. It also featured last year Father Matt Tremont and Eddie Kingston. It was an Anything Goes match, so they kind of brawled around the arena. But the main event, Joey Janela, Marty Jannetty. I had a ball watching that match because Marty Jannetty hit a Canadian destroyer, and I think my body left the earth and then returned 10 minutes later. Matt Riddle also wrestled Dan Severn, which was another dream match I wanted to see. And so this year, like I said, I mentioned the Cluster F for this year at Joey Janela's Spring Break 2. Dream match-wise, Nick freaking Gage versus Penta El Zero Miedo. I never thought those two men would be in a ring together. I don't know how in New Orleans, where if you're not aware, the Athletic Commission has certain rules and regulations pertaining to blood, pile drivers, weapons, all sorts of things like that, how this match is going to go. But if they got to get out of here off of that, I mean, it's going to be job well done. You're also going to have Matt Riddle versus James Ellsworth, which is a match I never thought I needed to see. But now that they put it on a card, I'm like, hey, I'm here for it. Mike Quackenbush coming out of pseudo-retirement against David Starr. That's going to be another outstanding match where you're like, how the heck did that happen? And the main event, Joey Janela and the great freaking Sasuke. My head hurts just thinking about that. Like, Joey, if you get a look at Joey Janela's last 2 years on social media and his in-ring work, he has done a phenomenal job, not only at self-promotion, but putting himself in a niche, not too unlike when you had, you know, the best indie guy, like Cody, for instance. Cody's given himself a niche where he is in that upper echelon and he could go anywhere, but he's got the home base of Ring of Honor now, now that he signed the contract. With Joey Janela, he is the ultimate freelancer, and he is trying his darndest to prove he's the best at what he does. And I'm applauding his effort because it's awesome. And so, and of course, there's the match that sold me on Joey Janela's Spring Break 2. Walter, one third of Ringkampf versus Pierre Carl Ouellette. Don't know how they got him, but it's going to be fun and it's going to be crazy. And two big dudes, Hoss fight, Bam, as my friend Fest would call it, big angry men. So let me know, too, as I'm talking and I'm going to prattle on over this next hour about the stuff we're trying to go to, the things I'm going to enjoy and hopefully give you a taste. And then next week, like I said, it's going to be a combination of a live deep dive, but it's also going to be some of the audio I'm going to splice in of hopefully some wrestlers we interview, fans, obviously, and, of course, Torch staff that are in attendance, like Alan Cunahan. I had a great time doing a roundtable with him this week with Sean Radican pertaining to New Japan. And I just want to talk to him about progress because as a person who can go over and is in the UK and can watch all these awesome matches and then does commentary for WXW, Alan is just this fount of knowledge. And I feel like we've stolen him in the dead of night from the Wrestling Observer and brought him over to the Torch. And so I'm looking forward to talking wrestling with him and kind of getting his perspective because he's just a ray of sunshine and it's just going to be fun. And so that's Friday. I do want to mention Thursday, there's going to be a WrestleCon Super Show. And I'm going to mention this and then we'll go to commercial. The WrestleCon Super Show sold me with the Friends versus Lovers. And by that, I mean the Golden Lovers versus the Best Friends. So Thursday, April 5th, it's going to be at 9:30 p.m. bell time at the Sugar Mill in New Orleans. Because of an injury to Trent, the Best Friends will not be able to have a tag match, so the Kentucky Gentlemen will have to find a tag partner to go up against the Golden Lovers, and I'm looking forward to seeing who he has. But the two matches announced thus far outside of that match are Jeff Cobb versus Tomohiro Ishii, which another Hoss fight, another Mr. Athletic, Jeff Cobb, has been one of my favorite wrestlers to watch the last 2.5 years. But be it Matanza, be it his role in PWG, or his recent addition to the New Japan Pro Wrestling roster, I need to see more of this guy. And so this is going to be a good match for me to see him live. I saw him last year wrestle a couple of times, once against Keith Lee, and then in a few tag teams, the Chosen Bros, most notably, with Matt Riddle. So I'm definitely going to look forward to that. And, of course, what Rich fan experience WrestleMania week/weekend wouldn't be complete without finally getting to see one of my main dudes, Penta El Zero Miedo. I mentioned that he's going to be at one of the other events in terms of the spring break, but I'm going to see him on Thursday night against Joey Janela himself. And so those two dudes, looking forward to that, because Pentagon, Penta El Zero Miedo, has been, you know, he's been that dude for me, him and his brother, Ray Phoenix, quality wrestlers, excellent tag, excellent singles, you name it, they do it. Because of Progress's affiliation with the streaming service they use, I've been able to watch some of his AAW matches in Chicago and middle America for the most part. And I'm looking forward in the fall to going to see him live as well with some of my best friends. So I'll keep you posted on that. Now, when we come back, I'm going to open the phone and take some calls, but I look forward to chatting with you more about this here on The Deep Dive.
Do you love wrestling? Are you in or around New Orleans during WrestleMania weekend? Then come check out Ring Rust Radio Live from the Hilton Garden Inn New Orleans Convention Center on Saturday, April 7th from 2 to 4 p.m. local time. Tickets are only $10 and available on PayPal via ringrustradio@gmail.com. or on patreon.com/ringrustradio. Don't miss the boys of Ring Rust Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am the eponymous Rich Fan. And we're going to go to the phones and take our first caller. So 623, why don't you state your name, where you're calling from, and welcome to the Deep Dive.
Hey, Rich, this is Brian calling from Phoenix.
Hey, Brian, how are you doing?
Fine, how are you doing this weekend?
Pretty good, pretty good. Like I said, unfortunately, Kyden had something come up, so I'm looking forward to reconnecting with him. But I'm really excited about WrestleMania and WrestleMania week, so I'm lit, man.
And also, I'll ask while I'm here, family's doing well as well?
Oh, yeah. This is a good Easter weekend. We got back today. This is the first time I've ever – my son asked me to ice skate, and my wife was amazed because – I'm 36. I've never ice skated in my life. I've had church functions, family members, ex-girlfriends. My wife asked me to ice skate, and I would always turn them down because I don't like fall. I don't like doing something where I know I'm completely ill-trained for it and will look dumb. And when I had his little eyes look up at me and say, "Dad, let's go," I couldn't fight him. Put the skates on. I did a couple of laps, and well, a lap, to be honest. I did a lap, didn't fall, and then I took the victory there and called it. Took me about 30 minutes to do one lap, but, you know, I made it.
There you go.
How about
yourself?
Cool. Are you looking forward to this Easter weekend? Are you going to be still in Arizona? Are you going to go see family in Detroit? What are you thinking? What are you doing?
Still in Arizona, going to church, and then just do normal stuff around the house. Hey, so let's talk a little bit about wrestling. And there's two things, and I'm not an independent guy, and I think you and I talked about that kind of loosely. So I'll live vicariously through your eyes of all the things you talk about and the things you see. But I have two questions, and two questions that you can we can discuss. First, and just listening to your build-up to right into us talking now, what's your opinion? You talked about this Cluster F Battle Royal. And you talked about I'm assuming it was a woman wrestler who was leading like almost immediately. And my question is, what is your opinion on blood and matches? And I'm going to – not necessarily this was a match, but on Monday, to go back up to WWE for a second. So Brock Lesnar, hits Roman Reigns with stairs. And, you know, and I'm kind of in the back of my mind saying that would be a good blood spot. And, you know, they didn't do it because, you know, talking about, you know, national TV and a corporation and everything. But I just want your overall opinion on having blood, maybe blood in wrestling, and then the bigger part would be blood and actually in matches. What's your opinion on that?
I'm ambivalent with blood. to a point. I think in certain cases, like I listened to Edge and Christian talk to Austin and Bret Hart about their WrestleMania 13 match, I think it's fine. And I think it made that match. I still have etched in my brain the image of Austin, especially when they did WWE later on, did that black and white, and it was the blood was the only thing in color coming down Austin's nose to his teeth as he was screaming and refusing to tap out. That was great.
Incredible.
But like I mentioned, some of the guys there, like Nick Gage, I have not seen a Nick Gage match because I don't like death matches. I get very queasy with things like that. So I think there's a limit to me. Like when you're doing, like I saw Father Matt Tremont last year at the spring break, and I also saw him at another match too. And then Evolve had a match where Darby Allin was thrown, literally thrown from out inside the ring by Ethan Page into the third row.
Wow.
And I was just like, I got rubbery legs because I feel bad because a human being, it's no longer like a sport. It's just how much pain can this person take before you got to take him to the hospital and pretend like he fell out of a car or something.
So, Rich, what kind of cheers were going on right when that happened? You know, the he's hardcore or what were they? What was the audience overall cheering when that happened? Right when he landed in the third row, he's for me to say.
Really, it was shock and horror. It was just like the old ECW where something would happen. Everyone's like, oh, it wasn't like he's hardcore or evolve or something. If they would have said one more time, I probably would have fell out. It was just shock, horror, really.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, with my take on blood, it's kind of like situational. You know, I can see where points were. Again, the Austin match was classic. The one WrestleMania when it was Flair versus Bret Hart and, it wasn't Flair versus Bret Hart. Actually, it was Bret Hart versus Roddy Piper. And then it was Ric Flair versus Randy Savage Flair and Bret both bled, and you know, was it an accident? One of them said it was an accident. The other one, you know, basically said he did, you know, cut himself. And I think in the match, when there's drama for it, I agree with it. But you know, I don't want to harken back to a Abdullah the Butcher days. You know, he pulls out a fork and just starts carving away. You know, I don't think we need to go back to. I just don't like that part.
Yeah. I think that when it's to the point where you have like grooves in your head from the amount of times you've been stuck open. That's where I kind of have to tag out because it becomes a little too much. It becomes egregious.
And that's, you know, I'm quoting old school too, not necessarily, you know, 2018. That's, you know, 78, 79. Or actually even into the 90s where you talk about, you know, Devon Dudley. So my second question is, and I don't expect you to quote a price because I know you're not a banker or you're not internet is searching and doing mathematics or anything. I'm assuming you're not doing this. But so we probably talked about this lightly again over the months, but there was a quote that Cody Rhodes said that he was making or he was due to make $1 million a year. And, you know, again, you're way more of an independent guy than I am, and I don't expect us, you know, like I said, to go down the calendar and start counting up dates and how much he could get paid anything, but with his name and you know, as many independent bookings you're talking about and how much people could you pay, I'm sure if it's possible, anything's possible. Is it improbable, I guess, would be the question, for a person even with his name to make $1 million? And let's just say I'm assuming we're talking about wrestling only, not necessarily, you know, merchandise sales or things like that. What's your opinion on that?
I think for Cody's case, he might be including merchandise too.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that with Hot Topic, because between he has a contract with Ring of Honor, so that eliminates most of his indie dates in the United States. So paying that price to keep him independent, keep him like exclusive, would be pretty high up there, like six figures. New Japan is paying him well, so that's another six figures. And then merchandise and appearances, I'm sure he's making, if not close to, because remember his downs, he's making more. I remember he mentioned that because if I remember correctly, the conversation he was having is he was making more now than his downside in WWE, like just being himself. And I believe that, especially because of the tie into the being the Elite, the Young Bucks, the Bullet Club. He has all those shirts, and he has the affiliation now with Arrow and all those delightful things. So I think he'd be, if not like dead on at a million, I'd believe he's pretty close.
Okay. So that's really all I have I can at least think of right now. If I think of anything else while you're still online, I'll tweet you. But it was always good talking to you, Rich, and I'll hang on and listen. And I hope you have a real good rest of your weekend. And a happy weekend and happy Easter to everybody out there listening as well. Thanks a lot, Rich.
No problem. Thank you, Brian. Always a pleasure. Torch, 27-year VIP, Brian Austin. Always a pleasure having him on, and always a pleasure talking to you guys. And like I said, with the blood, I'm always of – I'd rather it be something that means something as opposed to just a bloodbath for the sake of a bloodbath. So if there's any – chance that they can make it worthwhile for these guys to be safe with it, you know, especially in New Orleans because of all the crazy rules, I would want them to do it. Before I go to the next caller, before I go to commercial, I do want to talk about progress though. So we've talked about Thursday, Friday afternoon, noon at the, let's see, this is going to be, I have my little notes here. Bear with me, folks. So at the Ponchard Trend Convention Center again, Chapter 66, Mardi Graps, which is a delightful name. You're going to have Mustache Mountain, the team of Trent Seven and Tyler Bate. You might know them from the UK tournament. Delightful tag team, two-thirds of British Strong Style going up against the champs. Grizzled Young Veterans, Liverpool's number one, Zach Gibson, and James Drake. James Drake wrestled last year. Liverpool's number one. I love Zach Gibson. If you don't follow soccer, you don't get the heat that this man generates. Just first of all, with his accent and declaring himself the number one of wrestling, let alone Liverpool's number one. It's just, he is just, ugh, he's the best. I enjoy him far more than I should admit in a public setting, but he's the best. And then similar to the Cluster F, there's going to be a match in which multiple wrestlers are in. You can only win by pinfall submission. It's called the Thunder Bastard match. So that's going to take place. And this is the first time it's taken place outside of the UK. So I'm really excited to see this. Austin Theory, seen him a lot in WWN shows. Joey Janela, boom, he's back. Real Jeff Cobb. Ricky Shane Page. Obey Brooks. So at Obey Brooks, that's Chris Brooks. One half of CCK. Darby Allin, who I just mentioned earlier, who probably will get thrown very far into the crowd again. MJF, who's kind of like the broiest bro scumbag you can think of in Paro. They're all going to be wrestling, and the winner earns a title match of their choice. Paro, for those of you who don't know, he's one of the first out pro wrestlers. My goal during WrestleMania week, like I said before, is to get some wrestler interviews. And he's one of the, at the top of my list. I definitely want to get a couple of minutes with him. I'm hoping to get an interview with a few other guys. If I could get Jim Smallman, obviously he's going to have a lot going on, so we'll see. Jenny and Mercedes Martinez are also going to be wrestling Tony Storm and Shaza McKenzie. Jenny is the best, so my hope, again, that's the person I'm looking to get like 5-10 minutes with just to chat, because I think she's not only a great wrestler, she's great personality, and she's found that magic spot between being a fashionista and not having to go into the WWE trope of I'm either after a man or jealous of a woman because of a man. She is a walking Bechdel test every single time, because that's all she does. She only wants to – she deals with women. She doesn't have to deal with women because of a man. It's great. Will Ospreay's taking on Mark Haskins, and so you know that's going to be a good one. And hopefully, you know, we don't have anything as far as him falling apart. And by him, I mean Will Ospreay, because God bless him, but he does a lot. And then Jack Sexsmith, the other person I'm looking to get a hold of while I'm there. That's my number one. Like last year, as you guys well aware – if you followed the East Coast cast, my goal was to meet Jim Smallman, give him a high five, have a chat, and just thank him for a great product he brings with Progress. This year, my goal is at long last to get a chance to sit down and have a chat with Jack Sexsmith. And we seem to be trying to make it happen, and hopefully it will. Moving on, three-way dance, Pete Dunne, Flash Morgan, and Mark Andrews, and all good guys. I mean, you've seen Mark Andrews at the Cruiserweight Classic UK tournament. Pete Dunne is just the best. And Flash Morgan Webster is a number member of the Wrestling Mod Squad in the UK, where you can get used to his smart clothing as well as his smart wrestling. And finally, one of the matches they have announced, or one of the last matches they've announced, is the team of RingConf, Walter and Timothy Thatcher, are going up against Sexy Star, the star-crossed lovers that are Jack Sexsmith and David Starr. And so that's going to be very fun. I enjoy the two of them together. In terms of RingConf, they're just hard-hitting. Die Matte ist heilig, as their towel and their phrase say, the mat is holy. And then David Starr is an outstanding wrestler. Jack Sexsmith, is a great wrestler, even better personality, and a man who is just a pansexual dynamo that doesn't take himself seriously, but does take serious his role in LGBTQIA representation in pro wrestling. And so with that, I'm going to take a pause for the cause. Word to Steve Austin. And when we come back, we're going to discuss a little bit more of the non-WrestleMania WWE, non-WWE WrestleMania side of things here on The Deep Dive.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am Rich Fan, and we're talking about the non-WWE flavored WrestleMania week events that are coming up this week in New Orleans, events I'll be attending, a little preview for all of them, as well as your calls. So feel free to tune in, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. Now, we just finished up talking about Chapter 66 of Progress. Chapter 67 is going to be pretty good as well. One thing I will give is a caveat because of the fact that they're going to try to set up matches during 66 for 67. They only have two matches scheduled thus far for Chapter 67. Walter versus Zack Sabre Jr. in a number one contender match. Done. The chapter's name is Bourbon is Also a Biscuit, which is hilarious. Again, at noon, this time on Saturday, again at the Pontchartrain Convention Center in New Orleans. So ZSJ, as you have heard the last 2 weeks from me on any of the Torch vehicles you listen to, he has hit a gear that has been phenomenal to see. I'm looking forward to seeing him and Walter, mainly because it's going to be such one, a clash of styles between the sheer size of Walter, the sheer just punishing style he brings to the table, and the anaconda-like submissions that Zach brings to the table. So that's going to be really fun. And the other match is Ray Horace, a.k.a. Dragon Azteca Jr., versus Chris Brooks. Again, member CCK. I love Chris Brooks. Because, again, similar to Zack Sabre Jr., he's I want to say it's is it a mesomorph, ectomorph? He's a skinny, tall dude, and that length belies his height because you focus on the skinniness, but he's a really good wrestler. There are some spots he does that are a bit like he does like a wet willy, and that always turns my stomach just because I'm not the biggest wet willy fan, you know? It's not for everyone, you know, just like shaving isn't for everyone. And so I'll take a moment to talk about my operation, Stay Clean, Stay Neck Beard Free, in terms of going into WrestleMania week. And I thank Harry's for it. As I've mentioned every week here on The Deep Dive, the thing I love most about Harry's is the quality of the blades, the affordable price, and the fact that I don't have to be a neck beard. And Harry's, as you all know, they stripped out all the unnecessary features and all the unnecessary costs to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave comes down to good blades. Because Harry's owned the factory, they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. And all products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. And Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades that they're going to give you a free trial set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/pwtorch. Just have to pay for shipping. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. $13 value for free when you sign up. Like I said, you just have to cover shipping. And your set includes, for free, a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. So make sure you go to your free trial, get your free trial set by going to harrys.com/pwtorch right now. That's harrys.com/pwtorch. So like I said, I'm avoiding the neck beard. When you see my photos, and we're going to be having several photos up, I'll definitely link on my Twitter feed all of our social media, because Cam's going to be maintaining the fun stuff as far as Instagram and Twitter stuff. But I'm also going to be assisting with the Instagram and making sure that we get as much as we can out there. And that will ensure that you guys can see all the sights, sounds, and the happenings WrestleMania week. As it stands, I think myself and my friend Gil are going to be going to most of the matches. But when it comes to, and I'm going to take a little deviation to the WWE side of things, when it comes to things like access, we are going to be going there. We don't have any wrestlers we're going to be able to get to there. I'm sure some of the bigger fish in the sea, like an ESPN, are going to kind of beat us to those. But here at the Torch, we don't mess around when it comes to providing content. We're also going to be talking to people on the street. I leave the big stuff to Wade and Bruce. They do outstanding job with long-form interviews, long-form articles. I feel like I'm coming along when it comes to interviews with people in the field. And as you heard, I'll be interviewing some of the folks on the indie side of things. But when we're at Access, I want to hear from the fans. I want to hear why you're dressed up as the eighth member of Demolition, or why are you deciding that this was the thing you wanted to spend your money on? And additionally, we're going to have some matches there at Access that Cam, myself, Travis, and any other member of the East Coast cast or PW Torch Rhythm section can comment on. Zach Haydorn's going to be there. Like I said, Alan Cunahan's going to be there. So I want to kind of get their perspectives on things and matches they've seen, places they're going. For instance, RPW is going to have a heavy New Japan presence. When I bought my Progress tickets, I kind of knew that was going to be that proverbial line in the sand. So that was the decision I made in terms of making sure I had my coverage there. Because if Progress is at a place, I'm going to Progress. But RPW is another one I got to – Pro, rather, is another one I got to kind of cut off the old bucket list. But that'll come in time. So, yeah, when we take this tag back into the events of the day, those are going to be the main offshoots. But we also are going to go see NXT, WrestleMania, et cetera, et cetera. But you have a number of other events here too. For instance – I'm debating right now at the Civic Center on Saturday at near midnight, 11:55 p.m., going to Kaiju Big Battle. For those of you who aren't initiated, Kaiju Big Battle is a wrestling show where all of the performers are dressed like Kaiju. So the monsters from your Tojo and other films. And I would love to just see how crazy that is. And it's either going to be that or the wrap-up, but that's around midnight. The wrap-up show is going to be Kaiju Big Battle 2. That's going to be after WrestleMania. I don't know if I have it in me for that. That's a lot. That's a lot, especially after like 7 hours of WrestleMania. House of Hardcore is on Saturday at 10 p.m. at the Sugar Mill. I won't be attending that, as I'll be at NXT, and then after NXT I will be passing out and preparing for the monster that is WrestleMania. And so that's going to be my plan. I'm going to try to bounce around, though, and kind of give you some ideas of other shows that you might want to attend. And so when we come back, I'm going to throw those your way. Answer some calls. Make sure if you are on the hold, push 1 on the touch tone if you're interested in being brought into the party. And when we come back, we'll kind of talk about those, wrap up some other loose ends, and finish as strong as we can here on the deep dive.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday Edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conferences and stuff like that. They just, someone tells them like, all right, now it's your turn, go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am Rich Fan. We're talking about the WWE WrestleMania fun scheduled for this coming week. I've kind of outlined my plan of attack in addition to attending Lucy's in New Orleans, where we'll be having a PW Torch meetup. I'll give you more information on the time itself once we get a chance to figure out what best works for the crew that's going to the Hall of Fame and things of that nature. But that's going to be a pretty good show. I'm really looking forward to WrestleMania, NXT, the Raw after Mania. Those are three things I typically try to go to with my friends. But these shows really make the week for me, to be honest. I enjoy, as much as you enjoy WrestleMania, I think I enjoy that much more, being able to see all these folks kind of do the festival of wrestling prior to WrestleMania. And everyone gets to eat, so to speak. I mean, last year, I recall when I was talking to Bruce on our Friday show, the Matt Riddle marathon, where he had, I think I saw him in 8 matches over the course of 3 days. And that guy was just a monster. I mean, as much as we talk about someone like a Drew McIntyre, which was a fun moment as well, Drew McIntyre wrestling at the WWN Super Show, or getting involved in an angle at the beginning of the show, rather, and then showing up on NXT TV. That was something I definitely thought was a really cool moment. And maybe because we were still in the arena, we didn't get to see, obviously we weren't watching the NXT show live. We were there at the event. So we decided to just follow on Twitter. So as we're on Twitter, we get the alert, and lo and behold, there we go. We got Drew McIntyre back in WWE. Drew Galloway has died after a pile driver from Keith Lee. So yeah, that was fun. That was a nice way to kind of put a finale on my indie wrestling for the week. And speaking of putting a finale, we're going to hit up some of these last phone calls and kind of finish strong before we go in. So 512, state your name, where you're coming from, and thanks for calling the Deep Dive.
Hey guys, this is Cameron in Austin.
Cam, how are you, my man?
I'm doing well, sir. I am doing well. Hope the show's been going well.
Yeah. So far, so good. I went through and just finished describing all the shows, kind of giving a layout for what we're going to do. So actually, yeah, before I go any further, what social media platform should people be paying attention to all next weekend as far as the content we're going to be throwing out?
Oh, yeah. I think the most active thing is going to be our Twitter, first off. you know, I'm at Seahawk, C-H-A-W-K. I'm sure you gave them yours, the R.Dot Deuce. You know, Travis will be Travlord. And then, you know, East Coast Cast is going to be, I think it's just going to be a bunch of retweets, like from each other, saying exactly where we are. But yeah, I'd say pay attention to the Twitter. We do have our new Instagram page, which is going to be Torch East Coast Cast. And we've made, you know, a commitment to make sure we have content on there daily. So when we're doing, like, access, I'm sure that we're going to have a bunch of, you know, a bunch of videos up. If they let us stream from there, like, we still need to find out exactly what the guidelines are going to be. But
right.
If they let us stream from there, you know, we'll definitely have a stream right in there on the IG feed. And if you it's one of those things where, you know, you don't want to tell everybody how the sausage is made, but we all kind of have access to the account. So if you're following us on Facebook, then any type of stream or picture from next week, that's going to be Travis's portion of the account. So you'll be able to see everything that happens if you go straight to the IG page. If you're on the Facebook fan page, then it's going to be whatever pictures or video comes straight from Travis's phone or camera. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the key things you'll look for. Probably by, I don't know, probably by Wednesday. I think is when we want to have everything kind of settled as far as what we're preparing to do. But we'll have, you know, all the details on what meetups are scheduled. Like, we're planning on, are we still planning on Friday night, Rich?
Yeah. Yeah. I told them the only thing I don't have yet is the actual time, because I wanted to defer to you guys because you're going to be at the Hall of Fame. So that'll be Lucy's.
Yeah. And so it might actually be an early evening thing. If the Hall of Fame runs, like, if it's like a 7 to 10 thing, we might want to meet up kind of like a happy hour-ish kind of time. And then Sunday, we're still looking at restaurants. Somebody did send me a good one on social media. I want to plan a meet up for brunch with whoever's in town. You know, I'm a brunch guy. So we want to do that too, you know, just to all hang out, just to talk shop. Doesn't have to be all the way wrestling fueled as far as the conversation. Like, anybody who, you know, met up with us in Dallas, you know, knows it. It's kind of a laid back thing. You know, we did talk some shop, but, you know, it's just guys and girls hanging out, socializing. But yeah, so Sunday, I don't know when people actually wake up. I know I was up at like 6 o'clock walking the block to get beignets last time I was there, but, you know, we want to do something Friday night and Sunday. So look for probably early Friday evening as far as the time for us to get together. And then also early Sunday, you know, before the show, when we plan that long walk to the stadium. I know last year we did that, it was like, I don't know, a good hour of everybody walking one direction from hotel to get over there. So we'll see. But yeah, if you have the opportunity and you're in town Friday evening and Sunday morning, keep those things open if you can, and we'll do the, you know, the wine, women, and song thing and sandwiches, wine, women, song, and sandwiches. There we go.
Yeah. And it's going to, for me, I think it's going to be great because I really enjoyed it in Texas because everyone got together and it wasn't just like, you know, the fanboyism of name your favorite match or you're not cool. It was us playing giant Jenga. It was watching a dude get knocked out and wondering why that happened. And
awesome.
that still blew my mind. Like,
we have a good time.
That's it. It's going to be fun because everyone's going to make it fun. There's no point in, like, as I mentioned earlier, this isn't going to be a situation where we're not doing it like the Observer. Like, they go to a steakhouse and they got it like that. They have years of an established, this is what we do at big shows. We're just saying, hey, come show up. You want dinner? Come to dinner. You want brunch? Come to brunch and we'll see you. And mention I'm going to be interviewing some wrestlers on the indie side of things throughout the week and getting the audio and then kind of setting that up as like a big, try to edit it all into one big thing for that for next week's deep dive, schedule permitting, because I think that makes more sense than trying to shoehorn something in before NXT starts. But yeah, it's a lot, and it's a lot of good fun stuff. Like the Torch Rhythm section is going to be well represented in New Orleans, and I'm hopeful.
I think that's the thing I want to say too, Rich, not to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
Know that we are going to have, you know, videos and streams and pictures, but the weeks, like the weeks following, guys, is when you should expect like final polished things as far as, you know, those things are coming. You know, we have a big push to make sure that we have, you know, a bunch of content, but we also want it to be, my biggest thing about, like in an Instagram business page, is that a lot of these brands just put things up because they have to have something up every day. And I understand the commitment to it. I understand that that does drive, you know, it drives the followers, it drives the attention on the page. But we also want to make sure that, you know, what we give you guys is of the utmost quality. So, you know, expect those things to be a little bit after Mania seasons wind down. But you're going to see, right now, videos and interviews and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I'm sure I'll jump in the Photoshop lab with the things that we have and see what we can produce from there. So, yeah, expect good quality stuff after Mania, but definitely expect to be inundated with a lot of different media during WrestleMania week.
Yeah, and if you guys get a chance, one pro tip I can tell you from years of experience of going to Mania is there's an app or a website, parkwiz.com. PARKWIZ. They're not a sponsor in any way, but I swear by them, because if you want to get a close spot to any of your wrestling events, not only will they find you one, but you can then reserve a parking space there and not have to pay out the nose. Like, I'm going to be a half mile away, so like 10-minute walk to the stadium, and I'm paying $9 for the parking. And nice. I'd rather do that than pay, because for me, I'm a big logistics guy. I'd rather do that, because that's what happened in Texas. We paid like $10, and then we got out, and you walk a little further there, and you walk a little further back. But by the time you get to your car, you're so far away from the traffic pattern of exiting the stadium that you can just go and do the rest of your night.
Well done.
Yeah, I'm always like that. When it comes to things like that, I'm cheap, and I'm also big on not sitting in traffic, because being in a parking lot is, that's rough. And
especially
I'll just say
like
right now with Cam on,
at night.
I'm trying to get home as soon as possible. Not necessarily home, but get out of there, and then maybe we can go grab something to eat, hang out, whatever. But I hate being in traffic. And I think, pending any changes, Travis will be the third man in my room. And I already told him, if he tries to hotbox me or do anything that results in me failing a drug test by way of his activities, he will be defenestrated. And for those of you who don't know what defenestrated mean, I'm going to throw him out a window.
If he gets sassy, just shoot me the text. We'll send Faye over there. She'll straighten him out.
Well, I already told him, if he gets sassy, I'm just going to call the police and say a homeless man broke in and I couldn't understand what he was saying, but it looked like he had a weapon on him. And I'm just going to let nature take its course from there.
There we go. Hey, man, it is what it is. We tried.
if he needs a GoFundMe after New Orleans PD, like, has to sue him for hurting their knuckles with his face, hey, them's the breaks.
That's it.
So now, what are you guys going to, Cam? Because I know for me, I'm going to, on the WWE side, NXT Mania and Raw. Are you guys just going to Mania and then going home, or how are you rolling?
I think we're just doing Mania. We're leaving Monday. What I may see, I'm probably going to look around to see if and where anybody's like people are meeting up to watch NXT. Like, if somebody's doing it, like, at a bar or at a restaurant, like, I probably want to go to that to be around people to watch it. But, yeah, right now the only thing is Mania, especially because, you know, we're doing the access thing, which I'm sure will take, you know, at least half a day one day, and then the Hall of Fame Friday night. So it's kind of a thing where, you know, you got to make sure we have get the relationship time in.
And so
that doesn't necessarily constitute too many more wrestling events. So, yeah, for right now, just Mania. And then, you know, us sorting out access in the Hall of Fame. But, yeah, so as far as strictly wrestling related, those are the only things on the docket for me right now. I think, and I need to get on Amazon, I might be doing a cosplay contest. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, so I got to find out what restaurant that's going to be at. A buddy from Philly and a buddy from Maryland wanted to get together and do that. So that's going to be one of these nights. I need to see exactly when it is, but you know, outside of that, that's kind of my schedule.
Well, one thing I would say, and for anyone else listening to us right now, if you get a chance on Reddit, they have a link for WrestleMania plans. There's a bar, Cajun's Pub, that's like a bar and grill in New Orleans that shows WWE events typically. So it looks like a lot of people are trying to go there for NXT.
Nice. Okay.
But yeah, it's been good. I really enjoy going to WrestleMania plans as far as that goes, because it's been helpful for me kind of planning out matches. Like I had listed earlier, but like I'm going to see basically almost every wrestler I haven't seen yet live this weekend or this coming weekend. And so the mixture of matches, like, who's the weirdest one? Walter, who's this big dude who wrestles in Germany primarily, and he does Progress in some other shows in the Indies. He's going up against Pierre-Carl Ouellette from the Quebecers.
Wow.
Yeah. Last year, Joey Janela's Spring Break's main event was him versus Marty Jannetty, and I got to see Marty Jannetty hit a Canadian Destroyer at like 1 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. These people are – it's great because the creativity of the indie guys is like, I can't get ex-WWE guy that's going to make everybody go crazy, so I'm going to get an ex-WWE guy that is so out of left field that you're like, I need to see this match.
Yeah. Just having wacky races out there.
Yeah, like they did a YouTube video because Matt Riddle's wrestling James Ellsworth, and Matt Riddle is visibly upset. He's like, I hate this dude. I don't want to wrestle this dude. Why did y'all put me in with this dude? And James Ellsworth is just like, you know, I beat AJ Styles a couple of times. I could take Matt Riddle.
No, that's going to be good. That's going to be really good.
But yeah, man, it's good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm especially looking forward to the collaboration of the content, because I think that's going to be fun. And I think, as I was mentioning before you got on, I think Wade and Bruce nail it. And, you know, other people like Todd Martin, everyone else, they nail it when it comes to the traditional, hey, you do a great article, you do a great interview. I think I'm okay with interviews. I think I'm okay with, you know, the show. I'm proud of the show, obviously, and the East Coast cast as well. But doing the stuff similar to what you did at Comic-Con, where we can bring multimedia and stuff that's like outside, kind of similar to the Joey Janela thing, a perspective that's outside the beaten path, I think that's going to be something that's going to be the wave for people.
No, I think that, you know, just spend a couple of hours on, like, falling down the squared circle Reddit rabbit hole. And you'll see your threads of, you know, what podcasts you like the best, what sites do you like the best. And the same names come up for the same reasons. And, you know, which is great. Like, I think there's a lot of good wrestling content out there, but I don't think that there are a lot of, you know, late 20s, early 30s contributors and thought processes attached to these things. And I think that, you know, because we do something different, I think that we get a certain type of energy from, you know, people who support us. And yeah, I mean, Comic-Con was kind of the awakening for me that there's a lane for guys like us, you know? So this is the big version of that. This is the version I'm excited about. I'm thinking about all the extra stuff I have to put in my suitcase. as far as like tripods and stuff, which is great though, which is fantastic. I just think that we, the three of us in particular, we just bring a thing that doesn't exist, you know, in this space right now. Just a different level of being able to attach what's going on in our world to what we see in wrestling. And people really appreciate that. So we're going to put out, like you said, a lot of stuff for you guys, be it video, be it pictures, you know, interviews. Like, we're going to have a lot of content that we're producing here soon. Like, I want to thank everybody in advance, but I can't wait until, you know, a week and a half from now when I'm looking at the computer and I just have, like, I'm really worth of stuff to bring down and to put back together. So, yeah, I'm really excited, dude. I'm glad that I get to share this thing with you guys, because I know, I was telling somebody, I was like, the whole time, I mean, I'm just going to defer to Rich. Like, what Rich going to do, or how he's going to do it, that's what I'm going to do. So, yeah, thanks for being that guy, Rich. You make being this guy a lot easier.
Well, I appreciate that, my man. Now, before we get out here, I got one more question from Brian, and then I'm going to call it and then get ready for this WrestleMania fun. Which independent wrestler do you think is going to be at NXT TakeOver? So when they usually do that seat, I mentioned, you know, I got to see Drew Galloway get pile-driven through a table by, I think it was Matt Riddle, and then given a no, he pile-drove Matt Riddle and then caught a ground zero from I think it was Keith Lee, and then he shows up NXT in a suit and tie as Drew McIntyre again. So is there an indie guy you think that's going to show up as an NXT acquisition after this weekend, or at this weekend?
They signed Keith Lee, right?
Allegedly. I haven't heard confirmation, but I mean, if Meltzer says that's something that's been done, I'm going to say it's something that's been done.
That's the name that kind of jumps out to me. I would say I would say Keith Lee would be the get. I think he just is a look and a presence, you know, a size that they don't have on the main event level in NXT. And so, like, that would be the guy I'd say is going to pop up. Because, like, when you look around, like, you should take a look at that the North American Championship match. It's like that's all the guys that I would think would be there, but they're there. They already have them. So, I think Keith Lee would be the guy I suspect to be the ringside shot. Like, at first I was like Lashley, but then I was like, no, there's no way Lashley starts at NXT. Like, why put him ringside?
Yeah, that'd be, I mean, you could just put him in on SmackDown or Raw and just let him go to town. You wouldn't need him, especially with all they have. Like, think about, like you said, that North American title match is basically the six or seven guys that are going to be in their main event title programs after this. Because most of those guys, like, I'm looking at Almas, I'm looking at, I'm looking at so many of the guys, the Authors of Pain. There's so many guys that have mainstays that it's going to be their time to make that move. And I'm, you know, if I'm a dude that's kind of hanging on, if I'm a Dolph Ziggler, that's, you know, saying I'm just, all right, being mid, there's a whole draft class coming.
Yeah, he's got a – I mean, he just re-signed, which is great, but he might be coming checks at the house, man.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the guy I want to be right now.
Oh, man. Well, Cam, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
I will do that, sir. Thank you for having me on, and look forward to seeing you next week.
Excellent. All right. That was Cameron Hawkins. He's going to be one of my partners in crime next week. But before we go, I see that there's another person on hold. So I want to finish strong and close up shop. 813, state your name, where you're calling from, and thanks for calling in on the deep dive.
Hey, Rich. This is Jay from Tampa. How you doing?
Good, Jay. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. I kind of logged on late, man, but I heard you guys talking, and you're right. It's going to be a pretty stacked and busy weekend, that's for sure. Some good wrestling, good lineup. I'm excited for all of the shows, really. But, yeah, man, I know you guys are going to be pretty busy. I wanted to make it down there myself, but a couple of things changed, and and kind of messed my plans up. But yeah, I was going to ask you about on the for WrestleMania with do you think that they I know they're going to put Kid Rock in the Hall of Fame. So I'm assuming he's going to perform at Mania. Do you think that's a default, or do you think they may have missed some pretty good opportunities for some local talent from Louisiana to perform at Mania?
I think it would have been really good to have local talents, because I just feel like it would be such a natural thing. But I think they sold that off of I'd rather have Kid Rock because of the name value. And
yeah,
that was kind of like the thing they did. So I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I know they have those two sisters. I think they're signed to some kind of Beyonce label or something like that, performing like the national anthem. And that's cool. I think that'll be fine or whatnot. Just piggybacking off of the Kid Rock thing, what's your take on any event that that's going to have something to do with what form that we get off of Taker? I mean, I've been kind of thinking about that, and I'm a big Taker fan. I would say that's always been my number one, not wrestler, but I would just say character. But I can see if that's going to be his last show that he would want to kind of ride off into the sunset, as Stone Cold would say, as the American Badass or some form. And I kind of think about the things that that opens up for him to do after the fact. I'm sure he can always do what he wants to do, but it's something mystique about the Taker character versus the American Badass character, where he get to talk more, and just to see how Cena kind of got personal in the promos and stuff, to come in as just Mark Calloway or American Badass or whatever, I think gives him the opportunity to have a comeback like he wants to. He doesn't have to roll the eyes back. And this is his last hoorah. The man might want to have his wife on the bike or something. You know, she made her recent appearance and she's kind of active. He did call her out about the Twitter or whatever the case was. It does give Michelle McCool the opportunity to say, hey, on my husband's last match, I'm going to walk alongside him or ride a bike next to him or whatever the case may be, and let that be that. Are you still leaning toward that, or you hadn't put any extra thought on which character it would be?
I've been more in line with wanting to see Biker Taker, just because that kind of gives him the cheat of I laid the stuff down and I'm coming back. But I listened actually before this show started to Bruce Mitchell on his audio show talk about the fact that it kind of does mess with a little bit of the wrestling trope of a guy retiring. If anything, you may have swayed me back, because you just mentioned something. Like, it's his wife. It's his life. If he wants to show up with his wife in the backseat of his bike and ride down from Mania to fight Cena, I'm not going to fight him. This dude's been wrestling for 30 years almost. So
right.
I'm not going to begrudge him. If that's how he wants to go out, let the man go out the way he wants. And so whatever version of The Undertaker he wants to bring to the table next Sunday, I'm with completely.
Me too. I mean, he's given us 20-plus years of a mixture, but we've had several manias with the dead man. And, I mean, it's not going to taint anybody's memories or anything like that. I was – lucky enough to have seen him a few times at, Manias, when the two that has been here in my area in Orlando. So I was able to see him win the title from Edge, and then, of course, see him lay the black hat down last year. So, I got my time's worth of it, and I agree with you. However he chooses to go out, then that's on him.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. Like I said, he's had the career to go out on his sword however he wants, so I'm just going to let him do what he wants and go from there. I just hope whenever he does hang it up, he doesn't put himself in a position where he's kind of put himself in more pain than he needed to be in the twilight of his career, just to keep up with Vince McMahon's requests.
Yeah, And I think if he get closer to Mark Calloway or whatnot, if they did need to use him for something later, not that he needed, so I'm assuming that he and his family can, you know, retire from WWE and live happily ever after without having to do extra stuff. But if he was ever interested in some of the things we see some of the other guys do when they come back for certain things, or if they're going to do a special with him where he's doing a lot of talking or some kind of in-depth interview that we've never gotten from The Undertaker and stuff, I think that kind of – it allows him in a sense to – as it breaks that character down a little bit, you can see him a little more understanding that you see him doing interviews where he doesn't have any kind of makeup on or black eyeliner and all this kind of stuff. It's just, I think we could see him in that setting differently if he did end it with the American Badass character as opposed to the Dead Man. It to me, it just makes a lot of sense in a lot of different areas, but I think, you know how they do sometimes, though. They set it up where they can go either way.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Jay. It's just they want to kind of leave that extra out if they do want to kind of storyline-wise move to something else. So I'm hoping that they figure it out, because if they don't, it's just going to lead to craziness.
Yeah, I feel you. Well, hopefully when Mania and everything this busy coming weekend is over with, I'll catch you on another deep dive. I was kind of taking – you know, a couple of days ago, because I had some back surgery and I've kind of been laid up. I listen to a lot of Deep Dive, among other shows. But one of the things that I went back and did, Rich, is I looked at some of the like the Nation of Domination work. And man, I just it doesn't hit you until later how things have changed. And I think all the way to how things are so much, you know, so PG and things like that now. But when I look back at that stuff, man, I'm like, phew. It was one of the episodes of Raw I looked at, and how Farouk, I mean, he was just, when he was, some of the things that he was saying about Ahmed Johnson, and he was saying you're charcoal ass and all this kind of stuff. I'm kind of thinking of how if you don't want one group to get away with certain things, you can't let another group get away with certain things. Especially on a show like that. But I was thinking, when I saw that, I was like, man, that could be a, we can dabble back into another, to a deep dive at another time. But man, some of that stuff, just to go back and watch it, some of it just makes me cringe. But man,
think about what they did with the angle they did with DX and the Nation and the Heart Foundation, where they had the N-word spray painted in the Nation's off in the Nation's locker room.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, because I remember that's when I first got heavy into wrestling. It was like right around the era, I think, where it was like Farouk Hassan had been interviewed, introduced, and then I think on the WCW side of things, I just remember when I found out about WCW, I think they were, it was like Chris Benoit was feuding with Kevin Sullivan and their long drawn out feud and whatnot. So it was right around that time. So to kind of see how that played out with the introduction of the Nation of Domination and how they tried to add some, different dynamics to seeing how it evolved, and it was just messy at the end with all these different random group members and stuff like that. You didn't really know what it consists of, but to hear, Farouk and them talk about it, Ron Simmons talk about it on the table for three or whatnot, and how serious, that they were, it was getting outside of the ring and stuff. I know how they had to kind of cool it down, but at the same time, some of the stuff they did and said on air, including him at some point kind of admitting to intentionally trying to hurt Ahmed Johnson, stuff like that. That hatred, the whole, I thought he would be the first in the WWE, the first black to wear the strap, and the jealousy that Ron Simmons had and all that stuff. It's just, it got really nasty. And obviously it didn't have to get to that point.
Yeah, you're right, because that got deep and that got hurtful quick.
Yeah, But I'll let you go, man. I'm going to listen to you guys and follow you guys this coming weekend. And hopefully you guys have a good time and be safe.
Yeah, and I hope to see you, especially with it being in New York next year. We'll hope to see you there and, get to hang out, go to dinner, go to brunch, whatever else Cam got for WrestleMania next year,
Yeah.
Welcome to have
that's
you, Jay.
That's what I'm planning. Yeah, that's what I'm planning. I was planning this year and kind of situation changed with I took a different career path and leaving my last job that I worked at for 10 years and had that seniority and could take that time off when I wanted. Now I'm in a whole nother place. And so now I have to kind of wait my time, but next year for sure, I'm already getting geared up. So I hope to see you guys there.
Oh, well, you have a wonderful rest of your weekend. And that was Jay for Tampa, folks. And on that note, I'm going to get on out of here. It's been a pleasure as always. Next week, it's going to be a little bit of a deep dive mix mash. So I'm going to probably do a smooth half hour. And I'm going to intermix some of the interviews we've done. Like Cam mentioned, I'm going to wait to drop the big stuff once we can edit it and have it look and sound as professional as we want it to be. But thank you. It is an honor to do this show. It is so fun. And every week I'm doing what I'm challenging y'all to do. In fact, I almost busted my butt skating with my son today because I tried to dive into something new, challenge myself. I was very impressed with the fact that I did a lap and didn't die. So you guys do the same. Dive into something new. Next week we got Mania. We're going to hit you with some 411 there. That was this. And we'll see you with that next week. God bless, and thanks for diving.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership, and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip. And you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.